Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
It's great to be practicing, and I just love having this formal open air time, especially since we don't have the daily show right now.
I know. That's a bit of a shock, isn't it? A bit of an adjustment. It's good to have these catch-ups, these check-in times.
Yes. Yeah. I know that practice is always miraculous, and sometimes I lose sight of that fact, and it's great to be reminded of it, you know, like having open air.
Yes. Well, and not having the year long, right?
Yep.
Those kinds of things. We just kind of get used to going along. We get a little more lulled into not being as sharp as we might be and don't quite notice it, and then we get this little wake up and it's good.
Yes,
very
it
helpful.
Is good. Yes, very helpful. And I have announcements here.
All right.
Gather with Sangha to welcome 2026 with a practice weekend you won't want to miss. This offering on January 3rd and 4th is based on the book, That Which You Are Seeking Is Causing You to Seek. Participants will be looking at how a focus on seeking keeps us from finding what we're looking for. The book is required reading for the weekend, which is offered by donation.
Mm. And if you are Michael, I don't know if you've read it lately, but you know, it's like all of our books. It's not like it's an arduous task to get through it, right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to revisiting it.
Yeah.
If you are relatively new to practice, or if you are an experienced practitioner and want to deepen your understanding of the foundational principles of practice, we have a year-long retreat for you. Our Beginner's Mind Retreat runs January 11th through November 15th and includes Sunday workshops exploring such terms and practices as directing attention, karmic conditioning, mentoring, and interviewing. It is one of two year-long retreats being offered in 2026.
Yeah, and you know, Michael, we've had questions from people. So if I've been practicing for a long time, can I still do it? And the answer is yes. Basically, for what you just described, right? That it's like that little book, right? You know, a lot of people read that book, I don't know, 40 years ago or close to 35 years ago or something, and then you read it again, and it's like, I don't remember this, and what you get from it is far deeper because your practice is deeper, so you're able to see things and understand things that you just weren't able to understand way back then. So anybody, I hope, and I do hope we have a good mix of people who are new and old timers, because those are the best conversations. Those are the best workshops when we have that kind of fresh perspective and then the refreshed perspective of the old timers.
Yes, it's such an amazing practice in the sense that everybody's welcome no matter where they are, and everybody has a unique contribution from wherever they are, and it's equally valued.
Exactly. Yeah. I know the number of times that somebody who's, you know, basically brand new to practice says something, and it just, you know, just opens up something for you because you've never seen it, you've never thought about it that way, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to be an old timer to have those kinds of insights. In fact, oftentimes it's the people who are looking at something essentially for the first time who come up with those kinds of comments or questions that just kind of, huh, leave you gobsmacked because, yeah, because I just never thought about that.
Yes. And reflective listening buddies offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins January 15th. The deadline to register is January 1st. Do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? Our Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also starting January 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support. The deadline to register is January 1st. If you can breathe, you can do yoga. And twice a month, Yoga for Sangha sends out yoga videos grounded in the themes of awareness practice and especially designed for Sangha. The videos include movement options to accommodate all levels. A new quarter of this popular offering begins January 15th, and all proceeds will be donated to Living Compassion in Cantalomba. The deadline to register is January 14th.
That's what we call a twofer, right?
Yeah.
You have something for yourself, and you get to have something for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a win-win. And for these and other exciting practice opportunities, check out our 2026 practice calendar now posted at livingcompassion.org. 2026, can you believe that, Sherry?
I know, that's just nuts, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is. And what a year it has been.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yep. And a few reminders to make that show. Indicate your desire to talk with Sherry tonight, please press star 6 and then 1 to get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is fabulous. All right, let's do it, Sherry.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are
Hello?
Now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Elizabeth.
Hello.
Oh,
Elizabeth?
No.
Is somebody there?
No.
Can you hear us, Elizabeth? We can hear her.
How can technology fail us so utterly?
Jerry, maybe we can email connect with her after the show and troubleshoot that.
Yeah, guys. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to move on to the next call, sure.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's see here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hey, Greta.
I think we're all heartbroken at that same moment when she couldn't be heard or
I
she
know.
Couldn't hear. I was just, yeah.
Like four times in a row or something like that.
Something.
Yeah.
Something.
And I do think that our tech people have been trying to help her out. So it's good. Michael can follow up on that too. But yeah, I was thinking I'm going to send her my phone.
There you go. Just call her up direct.
Yes. Yeah. We should just, Michael should call her and put her on
Great.
The air.
Oh, there
goodness.
You go.
Yep.
Well, it's one of those interesting places in practice, right? Where we have a privileged environment. By the way, I'm just doing cue practice. But we have the privileged environment. We don't really, quote, unquote, know each other, but we know of each other enough to feel these connections and the heartbreak and all the other things that, you know, the glory and the misery.
Yeah. Well, it's such a good point, Greta. The privileged environment is exactly that. What we know of one another, I would say, is the best of one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see one another's heart, one another's goodness and sincerity, and we love that. We're moved by that. But I mean, we do know some details of people's lives because they talk about it. But that's just not what we're interested in. It's so clear that what is, in quotes, interesting about that person, or what we are interested in and care about with that person, is not the content of their lives, or the content of conditioned mind. It's the heart. It's what they're attempting to do in the process of waking up and ending suffering, and that just makes everybody absolutely dear and lovable.
Yes, yes. And one of the things I've noticed in this practice year, regardless of the quality of my practice, according to conditioning, is when I get on the call, it doesn't take very long for me to be right there with everybody. And we're just in this way of whole mind, or however our hearts are connected, as you were just describing, we just fall into each other, where they're pickling in the kitchen or whatever. It's mm-hmm. we're there, you know. We are able to be that attentive to the attention on awareness that is love. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm just challenged to take that to Christmas Eve tomorrow and see if I can stay with myself, because that's always a practice place. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
So into a quote, social situation.
Yes.
Can
mm-hmm.
you, yeah, can you stay with yourself? Like, boy, when you said that, I thought, Christmas Eve is tomorrow night?
Yes,
yikes.
Ma'am.
Wow. All right. Sneaking right up on us, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and that, and so, how are you approaching that? Do you have, as Ashwini talks about, do you have some handles for yourself, some places that you can grab onto when things happen that might throw you?
Well, it's curious because it does seem that I'm able to, for the most part, not get too affected, you know. It's like I definitely can go to the whatever place. I mean, I also know that those social situations are not places where we're going to have the deepest spiritual connection to each other. It's just bip, bip, mm-hmm. bip, off to the next bip, bip, bip. You know, and these mm-hmm. are people I've known forever, so it's not really that big a deal. I'm not trying to have that kind of deep conversation. But I do appreciate the opportunity that the host makes for us to see each other during the holiday and make a little bit of a connection. You know, there it is. People are happy to see each other and try to stay on the good foot. You know, try not to misbehave.
Well, yeah, and that's such a really good point. If we don't have if we don't fall into meaning making, you know, if we just stay in we just want to be together and enjoy one another's existence, that's it, right? Yeah. then that's enough of a connection, right? It's the reason that we're all here together, because we want to be here together, right? And and we can just simply enjoy that. And then whatever the conversation is, it's that thing that we get to where, you know, you can't just go up to these people and say, I love you. It's just socially unacceptable, right? And so we have these other ways of communicating that without having to be so terribly vulnerable, or anybody put on the spot, or be embarrassed, or that sort of thing. So to keep that in mind, that this is just a way of a socially acceptable way of loving people.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the things I have been trying to bring to my interaction with people is to be able to redirect attention to what's working, what's kind, what I'm mm-hmm. excited about instead of the horrible horrors of the world. You know, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with acknowledging the difficulty in our existence, not at all. But we don't have to go down that track. That's not how we have these close, well, that's not necessarily how we have these close interactions. And that mm-hmm. that may or may not demonstrate any caring of each other. It may just be a whining and grinding about, you know, what was in the news today.
Yeah, yeah, which is something that we can all be very familiar with.
Yeah.
At any time, right? That people were programmed to get together and complain and judge and talk about and criticize and the latest what's wrong, what's missing. So we know that. That doesn't have anything to do with anything when we take a step back from it.
Exactly.
That's going on all the time. And it is really just the can you believe it du jour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
as you're pointing out, you know, if I don't want to spend my life doing that anyway, then certainly I don't need to do it at a Christmas Eve gathering with a group of very kind and lovely people.
Yes. And so one of my subjects is how excited I am about soil microbiology, and that is in no small measure due to the Longview Farm and the farmers' videos and all the things that are being expressed about that project, which has gotten me kind of fired up to learn more about how to improve my soil. And there's a whole fascinating world out there.
There really absolutely is. And so much joy in it. Right?
Yeah.
Because it is, there's just nothing about it that isn't what we would term positive. You know, it's participating in something that is helpful and kind and loving and supportive. It's all of the things that we want in life and all of the ways we want life to be. And we can do that with something like our Mother Earth. It's glorious.
Yeah. And I have wanted to, and I am now expressing my deep gratitude for that entire program and for this year of being connected with what's going on. And I'm like going to write in a laundry list of suggestions about all these things I'm learning about regenerative agriculture. I could go on and on because it's fun.
Uh-huh.
It's also just
it's
really fun. I like to learn.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. It's exciting. And it's goodness. Just goodness in every direction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
good. Well, have a marvelous time tomorrow evening, and just enjoy yourself thoroughly. And if you do, you'll enjoy everybody else too. So that's how that works.
And I won't ruin anybody's meal talking about worms in the compost.
that's probably a good idea too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get excited about them too.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Thank
Greta.
You for this wonderful
Go
year. Go happy.
Oh, all right.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. And that was fabulous, Sherry. Very fun. And we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Bev calling from Kentucky.
Hey, Bev.
Just doing Q practice and enjoying,
good.
As always, the conversations. One thing that I've been looking at is energy levels. You know, the stories I'm being told about my energy, you know, that, you know, I just really think that conditioning convinces me a lot that I'm too tired to do certain things. And for instance, I have my reflective buddy call at 8 p.m. on Sunday evenings. And I'm an early riser, you know, I have a full day. And by the evenings, I get this story that I'm just, not just tired, but just like exhausted tired. And mm-hmm. that night in particular, and I'm looking at it because I just think it's a story. And I have my buddy call, and after my buddy call, I'm just like, I could go, you know, walk 2 miles. You know, it's just,
mm-hmm.
I'm just seeing, mm-hmm. and I've heard you talk about this with different callers, and it's really, and I get the message, oh, it's because of your age, you know, you can't stay out late, and you can't do, you know, mm-hmm. so I'm just all of that all mixed up together. I know that I am buying a story sometimes instead of just some guidance on how to...
Well, you were, Bev. You were. But because of your practice, you questioned it, right? You weren't buying into it. It's such a good story, and almost everybody in the world buys into it. I mean, you can, you know, with podcasts, you can read about it. You can... You know, it's just that information is everywhere. Well, now you're getting older, and so what that means is, and it's like you were never tired when you were young. In the same way, you never walked into a room when you were young and forgot why you had walked in there. Well, of course we did. But at a certain age, then it's because of your age. So with your practice, you're no longer just buying these kind of blanket assessments. Right? And so you're paying attention. Well, now, is that so? Now, if you're an early riser, you have a big full day, 8 o'clock in the evening, you're winding down, good. You don't have to have marathon energy to be on a reflective listening call, right? All you need to do is be present, and what you prove to yourself is when you're present, it's really energizing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, but just watching that, because not just this, but there are so many other things that I am told, you know, quote, because of your age, and I just don't think I just know they're not true. So it's very helpful to hear this. You know, it's very helpful.
Yeah, and prove it. Prove it wrong. Yeah. Right. Just prove it wrong. It's, you know, I really think it's kind of a mass hypnosis. My favorite, you've probably heard me rant and rave about this, somebody turns 40 and they need glasses. And then they get glasses and their eyes deteriorate for the rest of their life and they constantly need glasses. So I was out at the farm. I was farming today. And I was talking with the farmer about the electric truck that we have and the fact that Ford has decided not to make those trucks anymore. And the reason for it, now I don't know if this is the only reason, but one of the reasons is because an electric vehicle doesn't require the same maintenance as a combustion engine vehicle. And so for car dealerships, they're selling cars, but they're servicing cars. Right? That's where the money is. So if somebody buys an electric vehicle, they drive off and they're never going to see them again. Right, they're going to get their tires rotated by somebody, and that's the end of it. And so that's not good business. So if you consider, if you just bring this into the world of medicine, okay, when you're 40, you need to get glasses, and then you'll need glasses for the rest of your life. And you need to have this kind of treatment and check for this and check for that and check for this, check for that, check for this, check for that. The list just goes on, mm-hmm. and every year it gets longer, right? And you're in a system, right, where there's a belief that there are more and more things that are going to go wrong with you because you're aging, right? Now, I just really question the wisdom of that. In fact, and then I'll let you say something, I just read an article. I didn't read the article. Sorry about that. I read the headline that said medical people are starting to question all of the cancer diagnoses that people get, right? So you know, as women, you have a breast exam, and the odds are really good that there's going to be some finding of cancer cells, right? And what they're starting to question is, okay, but do you really need to do anything about that?
Yeah,
or is that just how the body operates and it's okay?
Yeah, exactly. I had an instance like that. I have been dealing with a heart condition for many years, but it's under control. It hasn't worsened. You know, I manage it. And when I went for my last just routine to see how everything's doing, it was great. Nothing had deteriorated. But because of my age, they wanted to put me as a preventative on, like, blood, you know, all kinds of different things. And I told them no. And I decided to switch cardiologists because I could just see this pushing me to do things I did not feel were warranted. So I found a more homeopathic, the cardiologist I go to, and the first thing he said to me was, why are you here? You're doing great. And he said, I'm really surprised you're not on 5 or 6 more medicines. And I said, well, it's only because I questioned and I refused them. And then he echoed to me exactly what you said, that there's a checklist, and when you're 74 years old, you should be doing this, and this as a preventative. And, you know, his mission is to, he's trying to educate people differently. But it's so hard to, you know, if I did not advocate for myself, and a lot of that is from this practice, listening to question, ask, be informed, you know, they just routinely want to just tell you this is how you should be because you're this age. So I'm so thankful to hear a different message when I tune in.
And to get on a bunch of things that nobody knows what it's doing to you. Right?
Exactly.
The assumption is just, you take this.
Because you have side effects from the medicine.
So
seriously, my this practice, just the fact that we are encouraged to have our own experience, to not just take things to question, to learn, to be educated,
Especially when it's coming from inside the head, right? Like, well, you can't do that. It's 8 o'clock at night and you're just too tired.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So just again, just the support and just hearing all the different Sangha members. And I'm going to spend the whatever time I have left in a very different way than I would have if I didn't have this practice
as a model. Me too, Viv. Me too, Viv.
Deep gosho for all the honesty and the sharing everyone does.
It's a wonderful thing.
So thank you. Bye bye. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Bev. And a big amen to that conversation, Sherry. It's fabulous.
Just that. Is that so? You know, that's such a famous Zen story, right? I mean, we're all so familiar with it, but boy, that's a moment-by-moment-by-moment question. Is that really so? How do I know that? How do I know that? Who says so? Let me find out. Let me pay attention here.
And speaking of medicine, I remember an experience. I think I was being recommended just sort of a standard update tetanus shot, you know, I think, I don't know, every 10 years or something. And I thought, well, let me just do my own research. I mean, I'm sure it's fine, but I said, well, let me just, and it's just so empowering to make an independent decision, you know, in the face of sort of perceived authority.
You might do your research and say, that seems really intelligent and sensible. Yes, I want to do that. And the advantage to that, of course, is then if something happens, now with a tetanus shot, you're probably pretty safe. But say it was something else, and there is a negative reaction to it. Well, you did the best you could. It's not a, geez, I just blindly followed the advice of some stranger who, and now I'm angry and I'm blaming and, you know, saves us a lot of grief.
Yeah, so true.
And one thing before I let you go on to the next thing, that this applies to everything, right? Not only our health, but our finances, our diet, all of it. We can be informed as anybody else about every single aspect of our lives. We can mm-hmm. be the authority in everything in our lives.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Sherry. And we're going to go to Good News Update, and then we'll be back to talk with another caller.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Mary Ann, who is here to speak with us about her experience of choosing to have Living Compassion be part of her legacy giving. Welcome, Mary Ann.
Thanks, Jen. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So tell us a little bit about that process for you.
Well, it comes from just recognizing how many gifts I have received in my life. I just have received so many gifts. And the gifts that are the most important to me are the ones about discovering the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And then discovering Living Compassion and the Africa Project. So I just feel like that's what's most important in my life. And I echo the sentiment that somebody else said tonight about, and it's changed the way I want to live, how I will live the rest of my life.
So beautifully put. And you know, it's just so struck, Marian, when you started out by saying how much there is to be grateful for in your life. And what's so wonderful about that is I project that in itself is one of the great gifts that awareness practice has given to us, is the awareness of that gratitude for all that's been given to us.
Yes, yes. Yes, it's quite often a love letter to myself is about my gratitude for everything that I have been blessed with, even the things that I thought were hard.
Yes, yes, exactly. And how often it's, you know, okay, sometimes after the fact, but that's when the gratitude comes for those hard things. But truly, but that really is those places where we're challenged and we have a place to go with it. You know, I think that's one of the things that was also alluded to earlier in the show. I think Michael is making it. Oh, well, yes. When the first caller who, you know, keeps not being able to be unmuted, and that comment that one of the callers made of, you know, we're here for all of it with each other, you know, the triumphs and the struggles, and that practice gives us a place to bring those struggles.
And, you know, I think it's that it was the hardest things in my life that brought me to practice. So then I have a different view of what is hard.
Yeah, truly. And, you know, as you were beginning this afternoon, I just thought, that phrase, gratitude wants to, you know, that's the place when I'm feeling so grateful about all that I've been given, I want to give. You know, that's what comes out from that process.
Yeah, and there's lots of ways that to do it. I mean, and this time of year, people are really encouraged in different ways to give to the food bank or to give to different charities. With our practice, we can give all year round just by being present.
Yes, exactly. That is the greatest contribution that we make anytime, anywhere, with everything.
Yeah. So the step that wanting to connect with the heart that wants to give, and looking at the practice, and I always feel indebted to all of the people who have gone before, all of those monks and Zen masters and wise prophets who have pointed the direction, and in the Buddha's case, done it for 2,600 years. It's just like almost unbelievable, but it's believable because it works.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, and that unbroken tradition has brought it to us today. That's the reason that it exists, that we have those footsteps to follow in.
Yeah, and so my sense of leaving a legacy is not so much as a leaving a legacy, but paying it forward, because these people that have practiced and struggled and communicated the wisdom of the Buddha, all of that is there, so that when I came along, I could cling to that life raft.
Yeah.
And I want to do that for someone else.
Yeah. And one of the things I have so appreciated about this, you know, Bridgewalk season, I think I alluded to it last week or the week before, that, you know, to have sort of an idea of, well, gosh, during this time, you know, we could talk to different folks in practice who are finding different ways to contribute to the project. Well, won't that be repetitive? But in fact, it's absolutely not, because it's so inspiring to hear what each person brings to it, because it has the unique flavor and ideas and creativity that each person has. And I think that's one of the things that really sparked, because you mentioned the legacy piece, and that's not something that we talked about very much. It's not even something that I'd really thought about. And so adding that piece in, I think you alluded to it a minute ago, of there's so many different ways to contribute. And that's one of them, you know, to consider that as you're looking at, you know, where are these funds, you know, at whatever point we transition on, where are these funds going to go? Here's one place that I really want to give. And I love that image that you're saying. It's not so much that I'm leaving a legacy, it's that I'm paying it forward, because all of those folks who have come before me, who have contributed, as you say, primarily their presence and everything else, you know, the time, the energy, the love, the material resources that have allowed this to be here for today for us, we can do that for the folks who are coming after us.
Yes, it just is. I also want to say that I appreciate the Buddhist lineage, but I also have to say the guide has given such amazing direction and modeled behavior and done it with joy, that is the other, the inspiration is also right here, right now.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it, is that we can choose what resonates with our heart in particular. And for us in this Sangha, this is what has resonated for us. These beautiful teachings in this particular, shining through this particular jewel. And that, again, to me, circles back to gratitude wants to give. It's what inspires me to want to be everything I can be for this practice, because I so resonate with the jewel that it is.
Yeah. The other, the last part of this for me is that there is something about giving and setting up a financial thing that goes to the Living Compassion and the Africa Project for the future, that means that I am not separate from what goes on. I learned this through the Africa Project. I figured out, I can start to be generous, to open my heart around the Africa Project. I discovered, wow, does that ever feel good? And I feel part of it. And so it's, I guess it's the win-win thing, is it will help carry the love on, and it makes me feel part of what I deeply care about.
Yeah, God, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful, Miriam, because what I just saw when you said that was, we aren't separate. We aren't separate. There's a constant campaign to make us feel separate, right, on so many different ways. And that symbol of the finances is one way to prove that to yourself, right? And that it sounds like in your participation through the Africa Project in particular, but that's really blown open for you, that experience of how wonderful it feels to be generous. And it's so funny, right? Because that's a gift that we receive from this project, which is something that the guide has said from the very beginning of when this project began to present itself to us, is, wow, I mean, we're going to receive at least as much from this process as anyone in Cantalumba is going to receive from any of the quilt work that we're all doing together.
Yeah, I had so much resistance and excuses why it was so hard to ask people for money. and I just learned so much about myself by doing it and discovered, wow, it just fills me with love and gratitude and, just... It's laughable to think about.
I know it is.
To resist
all the resistance that was there. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Marianne, for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Yeah, and I hope people will consider leaving a legacy of love.
Beautiful. Thanks, Marianne.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Gosho.
So happy. Gosho. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Marianne. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
It made me cry, Michael. Made me cry.
Yes.
You know, that whole connection that Marianne made with the, you know, all that has come down through time for us, all the loving kindness and the effort that people put into making this available for us, right? And then that notion that we can offer that to others, that in the same way that it was given to us, that we can hopefully. I'm sure it will, just make the same kind of difference for others that has been made for us. That was so beautiful.
Yes. And now it's my turn to cry as you were talking. And as you were talking, I felt the strength and the courage of those who have come before.
Yeah.
Right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And now it's us.
Now
we are those people, right? and the other thing that Marianne said that it just moved me so deeply is that feeling a part of, you know, that we think about those folks in Cantalumba and their lives and what they're doing and just so much that we talk about often, you know, their courage and strength and the love that they have for one another and for the project, and especially the children and how they take care of each other, and that we're a part of that. It's very moving.
Yeah, beautiful thing. Yeah. And we have another caller here.
All right.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Athens?
Hello, who's this?
Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony, I got funds, and it wasn't enough of a clue for me.
Oh,
all I heard, all I heard was funds.
Funds.
Hello, funds.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I did have something come in just recently, and while you all were talking, but I've been looking at how to practice during this time when we don't have the year long, and after the, because I got real involved in the email class, and then I really try to put a lot into the year long. I recorded, I listen, I'm on every day, and then now I'm finding things to do, but I'm feeling a little untethered. Like I'm mm-hmm. not as one thing I'm doing is I'm recording that which you are seeking, making a recording of that in preparation for the January 3rd, 4th. But I find myself not as diligent, not as consistent.
Mm-hmm. Well,
without
Tony,
yes.
What would it be like if you set an alarm? I imagine you did something to remind yourself to be on the call every day. And during that time, you say, started the retreat over again. You know, just listen to the, you know, just as if it's, you're not going to get called on, you know that.
but
aside from that, you know, you can have that same experience. You know, if you don't listen to conditioned mind, say, yeah, but it's not real. It's not really happening right now. Because, yeah, it is. It's real, and it's really happening right now.
Yes, yes. Well, and I did do that, like, the first couple of days, and then I noticed, I think I got talked out of continuing, because it's like, well, you know, it's not, you know, I'm not going to get unmuted, and nobody else is there. So, yeah, I can see that I got talked out of continuing, because it was very much a habit. Stop every day at that time. Every weekday.
Yeah. And that feels really important, right? It's not that it's a new conversation. That's not the point, because it'll be a new conversation. You know, wherever we are, we're here, and whenever we're here, it's now. So it is true that the only thing between you and enjoying a continuation of the year long until the next one starts again is a conversation in the head that says, yeah, but it's not. So to overcome that resistance and right with the commitment and the discipline to say, at this time I'm going to, and then this is where I am in the retreat. This is what we're working on. And you can work on it, right? You can do the same thing. Just do it afresh. Record it. Don't listen to a voice that says, but you already recorded it. No.
Uh-huh.
No, because this is now. And so you record it, and the same process with it. And I'll tell you, I'm going to bet that it would be really powerful. It will be really powerful for you because you're so different. You're so different mm-hmm. as a result of having gone through that whole year-long retreat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you let yourself, you really will experience it as new and fresh.
Mm. Well, that's inspiring. That does inspire me to do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then let me know if
okay.
If
then I
my
have accountability.
Accurate. Yeah,
that gives me accountability because I think that's part
right.
too. It's like I would be doing Q practice, and so I got to where it's like, well, I'm gonna look at the assignment. It just I was motivated because I thought, well, if I get unmuted, I know if I hadn't done anything, that's fine, but I wanted to have done something, looked at it or practiced with it. So there's something about that too that motivated me to.
Well, and that's really significant, Tony, because what we're conditioned to is we need some external accountability. That's why we have a whole program for that, right? I'm showing up for something else. I'm showing up for somebody else, rather than, I'm doing all this for me. All this is being done for Tony, and so she is the number one audience, the number one participant. You could even, if you wanted to, do a little thing afterwards where you after you listen to it. Do a little recording and listening session where you talk about what you saw, what you got out of that program.
Uh-huh. As if I was talking on the
year-long
show.
Oh, yep.
I like that.
And that way you can be unmuted every day.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I like that.
If you approach it that way, there will be a certain amount of pressure for you really to participate because you're going to need to have a report on what you saw, what you realized in being there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could even make that because I continue to do the commitment buddies. Accountability to make it my new commitment for commitment buddies.
Yeah. There you go.
Good. Okay. Yes. And then give myself a reward or something.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Celebrate.
And I love that, like doing it for my own, because I just read in the, that's what you're seeking, recently read, there's a line about that's our greatest contribution is ending our own suffering, something like that.
Yes.
That's the...
Yes.
Biggest contribution we can make.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you. Yeah. I feel inspired as you keep going.
You are so welcome. Yeah. And there's the other accountability because you're gonna let us know.
Yes, yes.
And I talk to you once a week anyway, so right on our forever retreat,
yes.
So you can just give me a little update.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that. I'm committed now. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Tony. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is June.
Hey, June.
I have a cold, and I imagine I'm quite hard to understand, but I'm not going to let that stop me. This has been a lovely call. What you said right at the beginning has been true for me. The last time I was on one of our calls, I talked about rereading what you practice is what you have for the first time in many years. And understanding it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm rereading that which you're seeking is causing you to seek. And understanding it for the first time. I swear I'm not exaggerating at all. I thought for years that we titled that book that because it was kind of catchy, but it wasn't really what the book is about. I'm just confessing here, okay? And so it is what the book is about.
Mm-hmm.
I just never knew it. You know, I just never could read the sentences in our books. I mean, I, of course, understood a whole lot of it on some level, but there's a whole facet of it that I never got. And yeah. I've been blessed with some inkling of insight into that. And it's just a whole different, I mean, I read a few pages of that which you're seeking every morning as part of my practice. And I just sit there and laugh. It's on every page, Junie. You just didn't see it before.
Yeah. Well, it's really true. And I think a lot of us had that experience proved to us when we did the Screwtape letters. You know, the number of folks who they came from two sides of it, actually. One is, I read that and, you know, like, or, yeah, I've read that. I can't we have something new and different? And in both cases, came through that retreat with such a deep understanding of not only what C.S. Lewis was talking about, but from a practice perspective, just being deeply changed by that process. So, yes. It is good to beginner's mind, right? That's why we're excited about that retreat, for exactly that reason, right? To go back. Now it's been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of practice. What can you see in it now? We're so conditioned to believe that there needs to be something new. You know, I need a new book. You know, Zen. I want to study Zen, so I need a new book on Zen to give me new insights into. Probably not.
Yep.
Probably get them all from the Daily Recollection.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you.
Say that again.
I'm kind of stuttering here, but just very awesome. Something you said in one of our calls or something in one of our classes, and I say, well, that's in the key.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I can't think of too much that was left out of the key.
I'm right there with you. As you know, I regularly say I really should have stopped right there. Said everything that I needed to say, but I couldn't get myself stopped. So here we are.
Yeah.
It's true. The teachings are so simple. They're so simple, and it takes me to that thing from the I Ching. You know, yes, a 5-year-old can understand it, and an 85-year-old likely can't live it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take care of yourself, okay? Get on through that cold.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Oops.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, June.
Thank you.
Good night. Go happy.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, June. And Sherry, that brings us to the top of the hour. And so
really?
Thank you. Yeah, crazy, huh?
Well, that flew by. Goodness gracious. Is your clock right? Yeah, I guess so. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you to everybody. And go happy.
Yeah, go happy.